The Shield is officially reunited. We have all five members of the women's and men's elimination teams and Monster versus Machine versus The Ring tonight.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Of course we're going to play this one. We were going to look at father-son music, but this one, yeah. Hey, Shield is reunited, baby.
A major part of the episode, but also the Shield.
Also the Shield.
All of them together.
And welcome. It is November 13th. This is the Raw before Survivor Series. This is the go-home Raw. And I'm sharing this after show with some pretty awesome and lovely people. Of course, we have Hobo. You know him from the NXT after show here on AfterBuzz TV. But he's also been on the WWE, the NXT, the New Japan. He's the Hollywood Heritage Champ. It is Hobo.
Yep, I've done a lot of stuff, but I'm going to do a lot more, so... Make sure you're following me at True Hobo, and you'll get all this stuff. Don't worry about it.
And next to him, she's very fashionable with this James Ellsworth shirt that I just cannot get over. You've seen her. She's a comedian, and she's a writer. She's a guest host on NXT. You've seen her here on Raw. We have Nicole Conlin.
Hello, it's me. I do less stuff than Hobo does, but you can also follow me on Twitter for my not stuff updates, at Nicole Conlin.
Okay, so with this Raw, I mean, it was mainly recaps, like bringing everybody up to speed who doesn't watch every week religiously like the folks at this table do. But we are in Atlanta, Georgia. We have our usual commentators, Booker T, Corey Graves, Michael Cole. And we started off with Stephanie McMahon, and she's introing Kurt Angle, you know, in her way. You know, she's you know.
You mean belittling and demeaning everyone she doesn't agree with?
She believes in negative reinforcement, and that's how she rolls.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah.
That was the most realistic version of a corporate ass-chewing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So what makes you think you're qualified to actually do anything? And tell me how many different ways you suck!
Yeah, basically, she called him out for Under Siege Parts 1 and 2 that happened.
And the pump fake, as we refer to it, it didn't really happen.
Right.
And because it didn't happen, it was a big false alarm, and titles changed hands, and it was a big mess, and she decided to chew him out for that. So she got him on both ends. So you didn't do anything when Raw was under siege, and then when it wasn't under siege, you pulled everybody out of the back.
Exactly. And not only that, she also called out his decision to put Jason Jordan on the five-man. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, she had a really good point there because, yes, there was free agent John Cena, and yes, SmackDown Live did grab him, which that's kind of unfortunate. I mean, Kurt comes back and he says that, you know, he's going to captain this team. He's going to lead Raw to glory. He's going to break Shane McMahon's ankle.
I think he wants to do all of that. Mm-hmm. The one thing I can say unequivocally is that Kurt Angle is driven. He is driven professionally and in his personal life. He's achieved more than most humans could ever dream of. Because of that, I think he's best suited to lead a team to victory. But I don't know if he has what it takes at this present time to actually deliver on what he hopes to accomplish.
Yeah, I think that's the best assessment of it that I've heard.
Yeah, well, you know, after we get that, we have the full Shield, not the buckler, not two-thirds of a Shield. We have the full Shield comes out in full Shield glory, and all of them are basically there to back up Kurt Angle. So they're tossing everything into the Kurt Angle corner. Mm-hmm. So, and Roman Reigns actually got one in when Stephanie McMahon says to him, and you, where the hell have you been? And he's like, where the hell have you been? We haven't seen you since WrestleMania when your husband put you through a table.
Yeah.
So.
I think that was a great correction. I think that Roman Reigns was better tonight than he has been in a long time on the mic. And I think it's because he has his pals to back him up. I think they are the confidence that he needs to feel comfortable in that ring when he's speaking to people.
I think he's also been doing a lot more, like, pretend arguments in the shower. Yeah. Like, just, like, really thinking about what he wish he said. He's, like, building up the confidence to do it in real life.
He's yeah, like, he's been listening to those fans and then just saying what he wants to say later when he's alone.
Yeah.
Probably driving, screaming at the steering wheel. No, you suck!
Exactly. But basically, the Shield challenges New Day for Survivor Series, and we don't know if they're going to accept yet. Of course they're going to accept.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then we move on. We have a triple threat match for the fifth member on the Raw women's team, because we don't know just yet. I mean, we have our team captain, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and then Blake. So... yeah, so here we have a triple threat between Mickey James versus Dana Brooke, remember her, versus Bayley. So, I mean, with this match, I enjoy Mickey James. I want her to have more in ring time. I mean, she's got the chops, she has the experience, and I felt like she showed it in this match. I mean, she didn't win, obviously, but I... You know, Mickey basically celebrated too soon. She was a celebrate too sooner. Like, with her taunting before that DDT, it kind of gave Bayley the opening that she needed to do the Bayley to belly. And then Bayley actually gets the win and is the fifth slot in the women's team.
It's tough to root against Bayley, though. I'm always going to be happy to see her go to the pay-per-view.
I mean, you want to say somebody took their eye off the ball. Nobody took their eye off the ball more than Dana Brooke.
Unbelievable. Oh. Unbelievable.
Wow.
What are you doing?
What a bold choice.
Yeah.
Picking a fight with somebody who is undefeated in singles and who's not in the match.
Yeah, and who was actually trying to...
Seemed like she was checking on her,
right? She was checking on her. Of course, we're talking about when Dana Brooke got knocked out of the ring by Mickey James, and then Asuka went over to be like, hey, you know, what's going on? Are you cool? Dana hits her. And
so
it's like,
stupid.
And I'm like, what are you doing? So, of course, Asuka chases her and roundhouse kicks that butt. Beat that butt.
I mean, that was it.
It was beautifully placed.
What a decision.
I want that gif.
Just gonna, cut.
Yeah. Be like, feeling Monday-like.
Yeah. I don't think Dana Brooke was prepared for this match. Truly, it was a match between Bayley and Mickey James. And Dana Brooke, sure, she did her part to try and interject herself as best she could. But it was really between those two. And I'd say it was a pretty tight match between Bayley and Mickey James. Bayley ended up just sort of squeaking out a victory.
Yeah.
Very even up until the end, but she got the belly to belly, and that was it.
Yeah, I wasn't angry at it, that's for sure. No. I love that neck breaker that Mickey landed. Yeah. Thought that was...
Ooh. Yeah, it the rude awakening. Ooh. That's rough.
That was a rough one.
I don't think Dana knows how to exist as anything other than somebody's sidekick. I don't think she can ever just be... I don't think she can ever be a leader of anybody, including herself.
Yeah, well, I did enjoy when she was a sidekick of Charlotte Flair. I thought that worked out really well for both of them. But, you know, obviously that can't happen.
I think she was dating herself when she packaged herself as the total diva.
Yeah?
She automatically dated herself. And she hasn't been able to establish anything else. Because now divas aren't a thing, so... Now you're just old hat. Good job.
Yeah. Well, she can always be repackaged, you know, maybe a Dana Brooke-alina and, you know, wait for seven weeks.
Brooke-alina with marinara.
Yeah, but next we do have a tag team match, but not the tag team match. It's Enzo Amore and Drew Gulak versus Kalisto and Akira Tozawa. And, you know, Enzo comes out and he does a thing. You know, it's the thing that he did, you know, liked his hat. His hat said loved.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's almost like a cry for help or something. Yeah.
Love me.
Yeah.
Love me.
And I like the thing that they have with Gulak, you know, with, like, he's a presidential candidate.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Know,
for a better 205 Live.
I mean, he is two left feet incarnate. Just, he doesn't get any jokes. He takes everything seriously.
Until he starts wrestling. when he
he's like a gazelle.
He's like a graceful gazelle, but more muscular.
Like I've wrestled Drew Gulak, and I don't think gazelle's the right term. No, the guy's friggin' dangerous. Yeah. Like, if you want all of your joints torn apart, go to Drew Gulak. Yeah,
well, I bet if you wrestled a literal gazelle...
But they don't have fingers.
They got hooves.
And kicking power.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for with this, one of the things that they're doing is a no chance campaign. They're trying to stop people from doing lucha, lucha, and ah. It's not going to work. I think that's
chanting
dead in
is
the
fun.
Water. Chanting's great. So, I mean, with this match, I felt like it was the right amount of time for what we would want to invest with this. I thought Kalisto and Tozawa were on fire.
They were a good combination.
Wow, I could watch them another three times.
I was sort of surprised at how cohesive they were together.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, they just seemed to answer each other right when they needed to. They were right on time when they were with the saves and with the pins. They were right where they needed to be, and as a result, it was just so fluid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were on the same page in the same sentence of the same book in the same library, and I loved it. It was all good. But... unfortunately, there's no, asterisk next to W. They did not win. Enzo actually kind of slingshotted Tozawa into Kalisto and ended up getting the pin. So Enzo and Gulak actually got that win. I can't believe he pinned Akira.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Mm. Enzo is not an idiot. He's very intelligent. You can tell when he talks that he knows what he's saying. Even if you don't understand it, he knows what he's saying. So there's an automatic level of intelligence there. And he's able to manipulate certain situations in the ring as he sees them coming his way to get the W. Now, Akira Tozawa is a former Cruiserweight champion. But a lot of people say it was a fluke. And honestly, you can't argue with it. He held it the shortest amount of time of any individual in recent history. Mm. So it just doesn't seem like he's really found his stride since breaking ties with the Titus brand.
Right. So there's that. Yeah. I mean, but Apollo Crews has stayed with the Titus brand, but he's also kind of, we're wondering, no.
Yeah.
So we continue backstage with Kurt, and he's making matches. We're doing that team thing. We're going to build these team relationships. We're going to build up build everything up going into Survivor Series.
Yeah, go out into the woods. Do some trust falls.
Let's do a snipe hunt together.
Yeah, team
crawl
building.
Crawl across rope bridges, that kind of stuff.
Walk on coals.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
It's like
trust falls onto
retreat.
Hot coals.
It's a corporate retreat.
Yeah, well, he sets up some matches. We have Finn and Joe versus Gallows and Anderson, Jason Jordan versus Bray Wyatt. Okay.
Interesting.
And we're going to a main event, Braun versus Kane, because Braun demands it.
Mm-hmm. Like a stubborn giant toddler. I want Kane. You can't have Kane. I want Kane. No Kane for you. Yeah, I want Kane. Fine, I'm not there anymore.
He's like the character from Spirited Away. I love it. Giant baby. Watch Spirited Away. Then we go into Miz TV, and Miz, he's always got the hot tea. He never spills it until he does.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, Baron Corbin might have his time in the sun versus the Miz unless he squanders his opportunity on the prize. And, he's now a three-time, it was basically harsh words, like he might lose to Sin Cara, and that... Baron Corbin isn't even the bathroom break match on SmackDown Live. I was like, what? All right. Okay. But his guests are the new Raw Tag Team Champs, The Bar, Sheamus and Cesaro are Cesaro. So they're the three-time tag champs. There's a "You Look Stupid" chant from the crowd.
Yep.
I love Atlanta. There you go. That's just... And then I love that Miz went into like full assistant principal or PE teacher mode, where he's like, "Do you know what this is?"
He's like, "Quiet coyote, everybody.
Put a bubble in your mouth." So, yeah, but it's going to be the Miz in the Bar versus the Shield tonight. So, yeah, I mean, how'd y'all like this promo?
Was this the one where Cesaro had to talk through his mouth guard?
Oh, of course. He always has to talk through his mouth guard.
Next time I do this show, I'm going to wear my retainer out of solidarity to Cesaro so that I will also thumb my fifth.
Yeah, that poor guy.
Really hard to seem intimidating when you're, I don't know, when you got a little bit of a lisp because of your dental work.
Yeah.
It's more than a lisp. It's like really messy. You can see him trying not to slobber everywhere. He keeps that tongue going, nah, 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 trying not to just make a fool of himself. But I mean, his wrestling speaks for itself.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Oh, he uppercut
can,
city.
Yeah, I'll make fun of him until you know he kills a man.
Hand him the microphone and laugh at him, and then take it away and go okay. But
yeah, last week with him versus Seth Rollins when he like threw him up in the air.
Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week.
It was last week.
Yeah. And then just beautiful. It was a beautiful uppercut. I loved it. And then also at this point, we realize that the New Day has accepted the challenge. Uh-huh. And they're calling it the Unicorns versus the Hounds. So we will be having
The classic trope of the Unicorns versus the Hounds.
There we
go. That's right. Tolkien, wasn't it, wrote about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it was Tolkien.
The Unicorns versus the Hounds. I believe you are correct, sir. So, yes, and we have Bray Wyatt versus Jason Jordan now. Okay, so with this one, I really want your opinions on this one. I mean, I always want your opinions. But, like, with this, I wanted Jason Jordan to be thrown off by, you know, the psychological tactics that Bray does. I mean, for me, that's part of the fun of wrestling
with Bray. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Bray has really done it for me in a match since, like, I think that storyline with Randy Orton the whole time, or the you know, his working with Randy Orton, just like everything. Yeah, basically ever since the bugs, I've been like, yeah, I'm pro Bray.
Over this. Get out.
and I think, but this match, I think, like, kind of made Bray cool for me again. A little bit. And I like that they didn't totally, because I think that, like, with all the bugs and stuff, they were like, okay, I think we went a little too far with this. Let's just, Bray, you're just going to be a wrestler again now. And he's just like a good wrestler and a creepy dude. And I think that reminding everybody like, oh, right, this is like a big fat guy who can actually move his body around the ring pretty well. I think that was really helpful. And I think that this was exactly the right guy for him to wrestle also to remind me. Because Jason Jordan is so like,
he's like fresh and new.
Hobo was saying when we watched it that he's probably the most pure like athlete on the roster right now.
100%.
And best athlete. And it's to me, it's like, oh, weird, creepy guy and like kind of all American jock dude who like wants to prove himself and is like, and that for me was very interesting, along with the fact that like, God, Jason Jordan just picked him up and Bray, he weighs something like 280 pounds.
Actually, I think he's tipping three bills.
Yeah.
And he hossed him around.
It was amazing.
Pound for pound, there's nobody who's more explosive than Jason Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, Cesaro can come close, but
Cesaro doesn't
have the amateur level that Jason Jordan has. Jason Jordan's probably the best pure athlete on the roster, period.
He's definitely hungry for it.
Yeah.
You know, you can feel that. You can feel like he's going to do whatever it takes to get that job done. And I do feel that with him. I don't know. I just wanted something else from him. I wanted another dimension from him. We do kind of get that later, though.
Well, like later in Raw. This was a purely athletic contest.
Yeah.
And it really showcased what both individuals are capable of, Jason Jordan and Bray Wyatt. Jason Jordan was even able to get the victory off of Bray Wyatt in this match with a flash pin. Mm-hmm. But it was everything that happened during that match to his knee, and then after that match, him just getting beaten down by Bray Wyatt that really showed that he needs to maybe take his opponents more seriously, that maybe he isn't ready for everything that he's being given. And granted, he's lost more than he's won, and in wrestling, that's kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when you lose, and then as a result, you lose an opportunity, that's bad, and you have to reevaluate what you're doing and the direction you're going and how you're approaching opponents.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, for the match itself, I mean, the amount of time, well, Bray was taunting, you know, holding the Sister Abigail a little too long, kissing the forehead, and then, of course, Jason Jordan took the opportunity,
I mean, that flash pen. Maybe I would, too, because Jason Jordan, he's still pretty young, still pretty green. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I were in Bray Wyatt's shoes, I'd feel pretty comfortable in my ability to put him away. I wouldn't rely on all of the other head games that he does with most people because, well, why would I need them? I can beat this guy really easily without them, so why would I rely on that? That's probably why this was more athletic than it was anything else, because Bray Wyatt didn't take him seriously, which is why he got the loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, Bray does have sour grapes, like you were saying, over it, and, you know, just continuously pummels him and starts working that knee.
Which was already hurt at the end of the match.
Exactly. Yeah. Slamming it against the ring post. So, ooh. And then the crowd chanted, "Thank you, Wyatt." Yowza. Ooh. Atlanta. Ooh, vicious. And then chanted, "Hey, hey, goodbye."
That's personal. Why you gotta be that cold, Atlanta? You're supposed to be hot, Atlanta. Why are you so cold?
Well, for that, they were. I don't know. They weren't feeling something.
No.
We'll see. But we have backstage with Jason and Kurt. Jason, you know, the EMTs have been taking care of him. And Kurt is thinking about taking Jason off. About taking Jason off for his own good.
Get a little choked up.
Yeah, apparently I did.
Verklempt.
Yeah, my Coke went the wrong way.
Oh.
So, yes. And then we have Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman. We are seeing so much of Brock Lesnar this year, it feels like. We weren't seeing him forever. And then it's like every two or three weeks.
He doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
He's sort of the same way
that you like go to a museum and see things.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like maybe a zoo. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Say bye-bye to the thing. Bye-bye thing. It's not coming back or doing anything for a while.
Yeah, so Brock will be facing AJ Styles on Sunday. AJ Styles did take out Jinder Mahal in Manchester, which was, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. AJ can take a beating from Brock. Not saying that Jinder can't, but I mean, like, how they were building up Jinder, AJ can weather that.
No. I dare say that AJ might be able to beat Brock. Maybe.
Well, you know.
AJ's a little bit undersized.
Oh, yeah. No, Brock, though, incredibly undersized, but his ability to move around the ring and hit people from the angles. He works the angles probably better than anybody in his class. So for that, I think that he'd be able to take Brock.
Yeah.
At least with the forearm. I'd maybe not hit the Styles Clash. That's a little hard. He might be able to pull it off, but that's definitely not going to be the difference maker. It's going to be all of the ways he can move around Brock and outmaneuver Brock. That's going to be his key to victory.
Yeah, I think if he tries the Styles Clash, like, Brock will just open up his mouth and just swallow him. Yeah.
Maybe.
Because it'd give him enough time.
Brock hungry.
But Heyman does give the top 5 selling points to subscribe to WWE Network and to go ahead and watch Survivor Series. So number 1 is the Universal Champion versus WWE World Champion. So first time Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, all wrapped up in number 1. Number 2, AJ Styles could claim to be a better fighter, which is what you were saying.
Yes.
Elusive yet abusive were one of the many terms that speed kills, the many terms that Heyman said. And during this part, this is fun. I just like audience interactions. The audience started chanting, "She said yes." And apparently somebody proposed to somebody
which feels
else.
Weird. I think if somebody proposed to me during a Brock Lesnar Paul Heyman promo, I'd be like, no.
It's like, I want to listen to what he's saying.
Yeah.
Can this wait for the bathroom break? No, but it was great because, Paul Heyman just rolled with it.
He rolled with it.
He said she only said yes because she hasn't been up close to a beast like Brock Lesnar. Interrupting my promo is like stepping in the ring with Brock Lesnar. You ain't got a chance. Like, oh, Paul Heyman. Oh, yeah, I love you. So for number 3, AJ Styles is the single most talented in-ring performer, in Paul Heyman's opinion, stylistically on par with Brock Lesnar. Number 4, you will see a Rocky movie come to life.
Mm-hmm.
So because AJ is the ultimate underdog. And then number 5, this ain't no freaking Rocky movie. This is Survivor Series. AJ won't survive. Suplex City are the F5.
Yeah. You know,
beat Brock Lesnar. But those are the five selling points.
What a smart way of both putting over his guy, but also being like, but the match is still going to be good. I know what's going to happen, but it's worth watching for the rest of the match.
Right.
Challenging, I mean, promo to cut.
You're only as good as the man you beat.
Yeah.
So in order for Brock Lesnar to be somebody, he has to beat somebody. So if he's standing across the ring from AJ Styles, Heyman knows he's got to build him up. He's got to be somebody who's worth Brock Lesnar's time and worth his energy, or else the victory is meaningless. So he's given him all of the selling points, and I think it's going to be a match. One way or another, it's going to be quite a match.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this. I mean, I still feel like Brock is going to eat him, but then I always feel like that for everybody that goes up against Brock, and I've been wrong before.
Yeah.
So, but
also worth noting, Brock getting a little beardy going. A little beard.
I don't know. It looks like peach fuzz to me. I grow a real beard. He's got, I don't know, he needs to get some Just for Men going on.
I don't know. Maybe he's breaking out and can't. Oh, doesn't want to irritate it.
It's like, yeah, got to keep grow some in, yeah, just in case. Give it a rest. But for this one, this tag team match that we have coming up, The Shield versus The Miz in the Bar in a tag team match.
There it is. The next half hour of the show is going to be us. It's just this. All that we're doing. Love it. So
yes, we have Cesaro versus The Miz. Cesaro and The Miz versus The Shield. So, yes, I loved this.
Mm-hmm.
I loved this. How could you not love this? Oh, my God. Can we talk about how The Shield actually looked like they were, like the time hadn't passed?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things, I think, when you're starting out in your formative years, especially with a group like The Shield, they all came to TV at the same time. They were together. They were a unit. And they had to be a unit. And when you're in that sort of pressure chamber as three young guys, it changes you so that as time goes on, you can step back in inside your mind to that place real easily, because it's imprinted on you. You can't possibly erase it. So when these three guys come together, it is like no time has passed, because they could not have been under more pressure starting out their television careers the way that they did. So I don't think there's any better tag team right now than those three guys because of what they've been through as a team and then individually. You can't take away their individual accolades. They've achieved a lot as individuals, but starting out as a team like that under that kind of pressure, you'll never forget it, and it's like slipping on an old shoe.
Man, well, they definitely rocked it. I mean, and they not only rocked it as a fluid tag team, there was also all of their individual styles in there. Like when Dean Ambrose, like, kind of took a time out to have a chops contest with Cesaro. Yeah. We're like, yeah, that's Dean, you know, that kind of thing. It made me feel warm inside. Is that weird? It hit all my nostalgia buttons. I was just really feeling it. I mean, I loved Ambrose. The choptastic fun that he was having, that vicious crossface they did on Cesaro.
Oh,
I'm like, the man's barely got teeth. What are you doing?
That's the point. You're missing a couple. How about I knock out a couple more? Yeah. How's that mouth guard working out for you?
Ooh.
What level of grade is that? Let's test it. Let's put it to work.
Man, and I love the dirty pool that was happening with the Cesaro Miz team, because it was like they were acting like they've been a tag team for a while.
Yeah.
It was like every chance they got. Yeah, they'd be over there working over Ambrose.
Miz said my good friends, so maybe they're hanging out more than we know.
Maybe
they're training together more than we can understand from seeing them together on TV.
Yeah, somehow I doubt it, but maybe.
Awesome.
There was, of course, the point in the match when The Miz looked like he was running away with his tail between the legs. But
he was Dana Brooke gone.
Yeah.
Like, he was gone.
He wasn't staying to check things out. And then it went to break, and then after the break, he was back in the ring.
Yeah,
oh,
and the announcer was like, ah, a brilliant strategy on the part of the Miz.
Yeah, but yeah, the teamwork combos, the near falls, I mean, for everything, it was great. I could have watched it for another half hour.
Yeah.
Because it was good for me. Obviously, the Shield won. They won. And the Miz at the end, he's surrounded by the Shield. And, oh, the Hounds of Justice were just, they were in rare form. And, of course, the triple power bomb is what ended it all on the Miz, which was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
So, watch that match. I mean, I feel like if you don't want to watch the
watch
hours,
the finish.
Yeah. Watch that one. Yeah.
I think that this match did a good job of cementing the former tag team champions of Rollins and Ambrose as still a solid two-man team because they commanded the majority of this match for their side. Roman Reigns didn't do a heck of a lot, and I'm not sure if it was by design or just how things worked out. But he was standing in the corner for most of it until the latter part of this match, that when he became sort of the factor that changed it in his team's direction. But Rollins and Ambrose, they looked like a legitimate two-man tag team, and I think when they want to have their rematch for the titles, they're going to they may take it back. They may even take it back because they were really a well-oiled duo tonight.
Yeah, they looked a bit dangerous in that good way.
Well, quick tags, a lot of double teams. I mean, they were hitting all the right buttons to look like they're the first in line for taking on the current tag team champions of the bar.
Yeah, I believed it. I didn't really believe that much about Ambrolins, or whatever you want to call them, before. But this match, I was like, yes. Yes, I can see this. I can see this going up against the Usos, and I couldn't really see that before. I am A-okay with the bar going up against Usos, though, because, you know, they spent all this time together, and they're a really good tag team. They are. Yeah. And I think we might have to get dirty with the Usos, so I kind of want them in there.
Sure.
Yeah. So we have this is a quick little thing from Kane backstage. Red-hued Kane, of course.
Scary.
He's,
scary.
Reminiscing about his attempt to murder Braun Strowman with a garbage truck.
Sure.
So
came so close.
Had that.
So
like,
close.
Like, oh, if only.
He said he heard him, you know, enjoyed the sound of him being crushed by that garbage truck.
Was it crushed?
He looked okay. Yeah. He looked okay to me. Yeah.
So I don't know if he just hunkered down real small in the garbage truck or if he pushed up against the compressor part, but
did like a Superman
maybe like he's got like Ant-Man powers.
Maybe
he can get real small,
and then there you go, he Braun avoids the danger.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you say Braun small?
Yes.
Man, I love it. So now we have Kurt Angle back in the ring, and he's going to take Jason Jordan out of the match. It's for health reasons, and then we get into some really messy family stuff where Jason Jordan comes out limping down the ramp,
begging,
saying, don't do this.
Begging
by
his
Sunday,
father.
I will be fine. Yeah. I won't get this opportunity again.
And which I didn't totally understand because neither of them are going anywhere.
Well, he's never had anything taken away from him. Hmm. He's never had anybody up to now say no to him. So truly, this is how a child acts when they've had something taken away from them for the first time.
Yeah.
But I'll never get it back. You'll get it back. It's just, for now, you can't have it. But I want it!
Yeah, it's like, no, you need some milk and a nap. Go sit over there.
Eyes are all red, limping down the ring.
Ooh,
come on,
it was messy.
You look like a mess.
But, yeah, and he's saying, you know, I've emulated you my entire life. You're my idol. You picked me because I was the best option. I mean, he's putting all this stuff out on, you know.
Calling him dad. Like, for the first time.
Yeah.
For the first time, really.
Calling him dad.
Calling him dad.
I can do it because you did it.
Exactly.
You
but
won a gold medal.
Stephanie McMahon strides out. She's like, what?
Shut him down, Kurt.
No. Give me a break. Make the announcement now. And then she just leaves. She's like,
I think she was still there.
No, she turned and left. She said that, and then she left. And it's actually a good thing that she did, because Kurt hesitated again, and then, boom, Triple H's music hits. The game is in the house. And he comes out, takes the mic, staring Kurt Angle down, and then he announces himself as a fifth member of Team Raw.
Yeah.
Pedigrees Jason Jordan on his way out. And that's...
This is... Yeah, this whole thing gets really messy.
A little bit of a head-scratcher all around for me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that Angle didn't have a problem with taking Jordan out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily that he was hesitating in taking him out. He was going to take him out. Because when you... Kurt Angle, by his own admission, if you watch everything on the network about him, he admits that he wrestled injured and it was the worst decision of his life.
Right.
That you shouldn't do it, you should take time to heal, and don't be a dummy. Yeah. So he has no problem taking Jason Jordan out. But I think Stephanie and H came to him backstage and said, here's what you're going to do, and you don't have much of a choice. And that is where he was struggling. He didn't want to give in. He still wanted to maintain control of his show.
Interesting.
Being Raw. So he didn't want to announce that his higher-up was automatically in the match. Because it makes him look completely weak. Nobody can take him seriously. Mm. It undermines his authority. Because now Triple H is calling the shots and telling him what to do.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Any thoughts, Nicole?
Crevices in Triple H's face get deeper and deeper every time I see him.
He'll turn into a tree. Give it time.
I think so.
Bark will form, and he'll just stop moving altogether.
Well, I do feel like this will be a stronger team, you know, going forward. And you know, really, it's about Raw versus SmackDown. Really?
I don't know about that.
Really? With Triple H? You don't think that would be a stronger team than having Jason Jordan on there?
What was Triple H's first act as a member of the Raw team? What was the first thing he did?
I don't remember.
He pedigreed his partners.
Oh, you mean for this? I was thinking back.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, but his first act was he pedigreed one of his partner's son.
While he was already injured.
Right.
Well, it's Triple H,
but can you really let somebody get away with that?
Well, Kurt doesn't have a choice.
Does he? Come Sunday, he will. They'll be in the same ring.
Okay, but he also doesn't want to lose against Shane McMahon. He already said that he's going completely after.
That's the question. Is it, do I appease my boss or do I avenge my son? That is his internal mechanism right now. Oh. Is it, which master do I have to serve? Myself or my immediate bosses? This is his struggle, his internal struggle.
Well, I say that he could win the match and then get Triple H in the back of the head or something like that.
I don't know if you can do both. Yeah, that's tough. I think you have to strike when you have the opportunity.
He's just got to figure out which high thing Shane McMahon's going to jump off of and then put Triple H underneath it.
Honestly, you should just let him jump. I mean, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out. So just let him jump. Hey, Shane, you should jump off that all the way down for you. I promise I won't get up. I totally pinky swear just tried to jump on me.
Man. But that's not the end of our tag team matches for the night. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have Finn and Samoa Joe versus Gallows and Anderson in a tag team match also. And this started rough. Mm-hmm. You know, Samoa Joe he basically almost pushed Finn right out of the ring. I mean, that was that was a decent sized push. It was just like, you go out there. Fine, I'm in the corner. It's like, okay, they're not happy campers, but
they're not buds. But
even though they weren't, they worked well. I mean, they kept it tight in their corner for the beginning, and then you know Gallows and Anderson like worked them out from there because they're veterans. They're veterans tag team.
They're more than veterans. These guys all know each other from the Los Angeles New Japan Dojo from Santa Monica. You have Anderson, Joe, and Balor. All three of them came up there. So they know each other inside and out for more than 10 years now. Yes. So you can't get guys that know each other as well as these three men. And that's why it was such a good match.
It was definitely a good match. And, you know, it ended with Finn landing the coup de grace on Anderson for the win. So, you know, glad that that happened. And what I loved was Samoa Joe was like, great, we won. I'm out. It's like, hey, I'll be on the same side as you because I have to, but we're not friends.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't happening.
She does not get paid by the minute. He gets paid by the night. So if he gets the win, he's going to leave. Because it's not a celebratory thing. He doesn't want to be there. Hell, he doesn't even want this job. He just wants to hurt people and make money. Whatever he has to do.
Isn't that what we all want?
Yeah.
Make money.
It's not like the tagline of our lives.
Yeah, hurt people.
I just want to
make
money and hurt people.
Yeah.
Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon's tagline. I love it. So, yeah, and then we have a very small little segment with Alexa Bliss backstage with Charlie Caruso. And it's basically, does Alexa have a preference on either Charlotte Flair or Natalya representing the SmackDown Women's Champion versus her on Sunday? And, of course, the answer we get is that the goddess will always come out on top. No preference. You know, I don't care who's coming out of the B show, basically, her words.
Why even have the interview? Like, I get a little tired when it's, you know, we just need to kill some time. Bring her in here. Even if she doesn't have an opinion, just make her talk. Like, shouldn't she have something to say instead of, I don't care. Like, literally, the entire promo, all the words she said could be boiled down to, I don't care. That's it. And it exhausts me when all the words mean nothing. She should have an opinion. She should care about who she faces. Even if it's for some BS reason, she should care so we care. If she doesn't care, I don't care.
Yeah. Feel you. Man. Yeah, I kind of wish that she had chosen one. You know, maybe Charlotte Flair because, well, for me personally, out of those two, I'd want to go up against Charlotte Flair because she would kick the ever-loving stuffing out of me, but it would be such a great match. And you would get that that reverse moonsault that she does, the inverted moonsault. So, yeah. Oh, which wrecks my life every time that I see it.
Oh, yeah, it's terribly dangerous.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't do that in a million years.
But she does it. I love it.
That's on her.
Not saying anything against Natalya, but a special place in my heart for some Charlotte Flair.
Yes.
So, I mean, well, what's your preference then? Would you have preferred Charlotte, Natalya?
Charlotte.
I think I would like Natalya.
You think so?
Oh, really?
I would like somebody who has as much knowledge as Natalya going up against somebody as green as Alexa. I would like to see her tie Alexa in knots. And Alexa, try and think of a way to get out. That's what I want to see. Yeah. Like, Alexa can run from Charlotte, but I don't think she can run from Natalya. That'd be interesting.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out. Alexa might show up at SmackDown Live, possibly, perhaps, to watch the match. I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
Is that like a mini Raw invasion or something with
that?
We'll see.
The chat seems to think there's going to be a little bit of a Raw invasion tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, Joseph Boza says Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair. I agree, obviously. I want
to
see that.
To answer Angie's question, what would be the kiddie version of Finn Balor? I think it would be Finn Balpur. Right?
Oh.
Is that it?
No, that's perfect.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
No, that would work.
That's
sure.
Perfect. So, and that brings us to our main event where we have... Where we have Monster versus Machine. We have Braun Strowman versus Kane. And... technically, we... Nice. Thank you. I believe it's Steven in the booth with us tonight. Thank you, Steven, for that scare. So, technically, the match never happens. Technically, the match didn't get a chance to start.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
It was a weird start to the match, and that's because you kept being like, well, is it a...
I was like, is this a no DQ? What's happening? Weren't they both
start.
In the ring at the same time?
They were, and then, before...
That doesn't make any sense.
They kept on saying it on commentary, too. It's like, the match hasn't even started. And, I mean, what ends up happening...
What ends up happening is we get the best line in Raw history... when Braun Strowman shouts, "You think you can stuff me in a garbage truck?"
Because who says that?
The guy who got stuffed in a garbage truck. But who generally survives that? One man, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I mean, he was put in the back of an ambulance, like rammed into, it was a semi, right?
Or
was,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he was a... So many things. The other thing with an ambulance, with the door and him going through.
Yeah, it was him and Roman. And,
exactly.
And, you know, yeah.
So many things. This man destroys, you know, next up, what? They'll have a crane or something like that.
A wrecking ball that he just catches and throws back.
Maybe a like shark cage. Put somebody in a shark cage and they try and swing the shark cage at him, but he catches it and throws it back.
Something.
Yeah.
Man.
Jericho's already sort of been in a shark cage, though.
Oh, yeah. I love the shark cage. It's one of my favorite things. I'm so glad there's going to be one at TakeOver.
Is there going to be one?
Well, yeah, they're putting the guys in the War Games match in shark cages.
Oh, my God. I hadn't heard that. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, wonderful.
That'd be fun. Friggin'
shark cage.
But, yeah, with this match that didn't actually start or happen, so Kane, like, just...
I mean, I saw it happen. It was... People were there.
Yeah, two big guys fight in a forest.
Yeah, there was no ding-ding at the beginning, but this was a match. Yeah, Kane slapped him. Braun stomped him.
How is that not a start to the match?
They
were in ring, put hands on. It started. We can call it a no DQ. I'm cool with a no DQ. But to say this match, it didn't officially start. When? You had ample time. Did the timekeeper have a stroke?
Apparently.
I lost a hammer. I don't know what to do.
I guess they took a bathroom
stretch
break.
Stretch it. I got it.
They did a bathroom break or something.
Vamp.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, there were chops and striking and everything, and then they went diving under the ring. Well, Kane went diving under the ring, set up a table that we didn't actually use, but we used something better.
Yeah,
use something better.
Kick out of that chair.
Yeah, the metal chair. You know, went Chair City on Braun Strowman's back, and then got that reciprocated. And then it was just, I'm sorry, this caught me completely by surprise. I did not expect this at all, although I guess I should have, because Braun Strowman already destroyed a ring with the Big Show before.
Big Show.
But he came off the top.
He did come off the top. Yeah.
They were ground level, running power slam, and then they broke the boards and went to the floor.
Yeah, this was just poor ring craftsmanship, I think.
I guess those boards traveled rough, and they just, maybe they were cracked.
I guess.
You put the cracked boards to one side, so they're in a corner, and that, I guess, was the corner, and here we are. Somebody's getting fired.
It was just done. It was like it was like the ring turned into that bed from Nightmare on Elm Street. And it was just like, that's actually kind of traumatic. It's actually kind of traumatic for me. I hate that scene.
Because you know what it feels like, fear of falling. Ooh. Oh, jeez.
And it's just like, either that or like Marshmallow Man is like sunk into.
That's what I feel like trying to get awake every morning of my life. Just like, I can't.
Man. So, I mean, that was it. That was our main event. So for this is the Raw before Survivor Series, which will be November 19th. So this Sunday, it's going to be in Houston, Texas, I believe, at the Houston Toyota Center. So, but the matches that we'll be having. So we might as well, because we have some time, do predictions.
Okay.
No predictions.
Or not.
Okay, so we're going to do this in no particular order, but we'll start off with the kickoff match, which is the WWE Cruiserweight Champion Enzo Amore versus Kalisto. So this is a kickoff match. What are you thinking?
That's tough. I think Enzo's going to win it.
I think Enzo, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see the Enzo train stopping anytime soon. So, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, if they do have him lose it, it'll be on some weird little technicality, and somehow he'll get it back like right away. I don't know how they would do that, but since he had like a no contact clause that he was trying to put in his contract before, they can do just about anything.
Only Callisto was able to slip through because it was a late addition, and it wasn't actually noted as an individual in that contract. Therefore, he wasn't subjected to the clause's effects.
Vincent N. in the chat says apparently Neville might come back.
I did hear that also, that Neville is more than likely coming back. But then I also heard that it was a possibility of us having Paige on Raw today, and we did not get that. So, I don't know.
Rumors around. Who knows what could happen?
Guys, you heard it here first. Hobo is definitely going to be on Raw.
Possibly. Definitely, possibly.
Definitely confirmed he's going to be on Raw.
Confirmed that I may possibly. possible confirmation.
Okay. And then Supreme Court. Let's jump into the big one. Universal Champion Brock Lesnar versus WWE Champion AJ Styles. So champion versus champion match. Jess, what are you thinking?
I think it's going to be Brock. He's just so big. He's just so much bigger.
Something may happen to where this becomes a no contest. But
I could see that.
Short of that happening, smart money's on Brock. Smart money's always on Brock. Yeah. Though I think AJ's probably a better all-around competitor. I'd say the smart money's on Brock, but I don't see this going to a finish. Something's going to happen.
Yeah, I see this being really good. I see AJ like pulling out everything in his toolbox to get this done. But I would see Brock winning it. It's just because it's Brock Lesnar. I mean it's not LOL Cena wins, you know, but it's pretty darn close.
Well, and think of it this way. AJ Styles is one of the only guys that can flip out of that German suplex and land on his feet. One of the very few guys to be able to do that. Because he's a little bit shorter and his center of gravity is smaller, he's able to turn, and he may be able to counter most of the German suplexes that Brock tries to land.
Yeah. AJ so that is be super, super smart. I think he's going to prepare well for this match. I think it's going to be a good match. I don't think it's going to be like bang, 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 we're done.
No, I don't feel like that at all.
But I do think it's going to be Brock.
Yeah, I like that Marie Annette in the chat room brought up gender interferes. I was like,
yeah.
Maybe.
I believe it.
I know. We're going to have a whole lot of SmackDown and Raw people there, and it's not exactly good feelings between the two.
Yeah.
Thanks to Under Siege Parts 1 and 2. So, all right. So, the men's 5-on-5 traditional Survivor Series elimination match. So, for Raw, we have Kurt Angle, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, Triple H versus Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Nakamura, Bobby Roode, and John Cena. What are you thinking?
I haven't seen the SmackDown team in action, and I didn't see how this team was formed.
Yeah.
But just by the names being listed, I have to imagine they're a far more cohesive unit than the Raw team.
Yeah,
the Raw team has been turmoil and just a mess from the get-go.
I do kind of feel like Something's gonna happen with Triple H.
Yeah,
like
I feel like
I don't know if our boy JJ is gonna come back out, and I don't see him coming out and doing something. But I don't know. I don't know if Kurt Angle's gonna get pissed that Triple H destroyed his son.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I think Triple H might also be up to something. I feel like maybe he is going to be a little bit arrogant about what he can still do as a 1,000-year-old man. And, and I don't know, maybe stretch himself a little bit too far. I don't know. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
The Raw team just seems sort of like haphazardly put together, and the SmackDown team seems like there was actually like, all right, that makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I'm thinking that SmackDown's going to take this one.
Yeah.
Just because Raw's just, it's kind of messy.
Yeah.
There's all these other underlying things. Like, you're right. Is Kurt Angle going to find an instance where he's going to pedigree Triple H? You know, like right back at you kind of a thing. Don't know.
There's a lot of palace intrigue here.
Yeah.
There's so much political stuff going on. Nobody wants to actually. Everybody wants to win, but nobody wants to get along. And in order to win, you gotta get along.
Yeah, you know. But we'll see on Sunday. So the women's 5-on-5 Raw is Captain Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley. And this versus Captain Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Naomi, Carmella, and Tamina. What you thinking?
As crazy as the Raw 5 is, I'd say they probably have what it takes to win. I mean, even from the unpredictability of their captain, Alicia Fox is crazy as hell.
Yeah, she's cotton candy and stilettos.
But she also is incredibly unpredictable, and unpredictability is probably the greatest weapon you have. So I think for that, and just the sheer force of everybody on that team is just
really good. I think it's. I also think it's Raw.
Yeah, I'm going Raw with this. Yeah. Just
Nia Jax and Asuka on the same team. Yeah, you could beat all five with just and Bayley. Those two.
Yeah,
and Bayley, not a slouch.
I mean, you've got Asuka.
Yeah,
you've got Asuka.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Sasha Banks and then Bayley. You know they're going to work really well together. And you're right. And then Alicia Fox is just like this weird X Factor thing where it's like you don't know, but you know it's going to be something.
And the other thing is, if Alicia Fox does get too crazy, all those other women, maybe with the exception of Nia, but even her now, all of them can just be like, you're being a crazy person. I'm a smart enough, good enough wrestler to just keep focusing on my thing. Whereas I don't know. Charlotte to me is like kind of unstoppable, but everybody else on the SmackDown team, I can see losing to almost anybody on the Raw team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a fact.
I think we have an accord. Yeah.
Good.
So, yes. So, the Bar versus the Usos, tag team champs. This one I feel is more difficult.
Yeah. This one I could really see going either way.
It's, and I would be okay with it going either way because both of these are such excellent tag teams.
Yeah, no, it's a style game more than anything. Mm-hmm. You've got the hard-hitting Smash Mouth style of the Bar, and the Usos being sort of in between everything. They can hit you really hard. They can dive on you and hurt you that way. They hit you both high and low, and the Bar just steamrolls over anything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's really hard to say.
Yeah, this one's be close. Super close for
I
me.
Think... I've got a slight preference, a slight prediction for the Usos, but I mean, that's just based on like a feeling and nothing more. I don't have anything to back it up.
Hey, that's half of what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say Raw because I'm on the Raw after show. So that's the only reason why I'm going to say Raw for that one. But I kind of feel that inkling for Usos. So, the Shield versus the New Day. I am so looking forward to this match. I mean, that is going to be fun for everybody everywhere, including those men in the ring.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know, but I kind of want the New Day to win. Is that weird?
I want the New Day to win.
I don't think they're going to.
Real bad, but I don't
think
they will. The
Shield just got reunited.
Yeah.
So,
no, I think you've got it. I think it's going to be New Day. New Day
has been. I want it.
They've been together and haven't broken up.
I really enjoy them.
I love them.
Yeah.
I would watch them do anything.
Yeah, and I miss them from Raw. It's like SmackDown got them. But yeah, no, I super enjoyed them. I loved how the Shield worked today, versus the Bar and the Miz. But yeah, I'm kind of feeling the New Day for that. Oh.
One thing goes wrong with the Shield and it'll all fall apart. But the New Day, if they make one mistake, they can come back. Yeah. And I think that's going to be their greatest strength is their ability to come back from any mistakes that they make. I don't think the Shield can make a mistake or else the wheels come off the bus kind of automatically.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. So Alexa Bliss versus Natalya or Charlotte, whichever. It's like it all depends on
I think
who wins.
Either in my mind, either way, I'm like it's SmackDown. No matter who it is.
Oh, you think they're gonna take out Alexa?
But if I'm basing it from a wrestling perspective, smart Nicole is like, well, it's got to be. Both of those two women are better wrestlers than Alexa. But I think
Alexa's crafty.
She's crafty.
I'm gonna say for her with that. I think it's probably gonna be her versus Natalya. I mean, I want it to be Charlotte Flair, but we don't know. We'll find out tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right, so Intercontinental Champion The Miz versus United States Champion Baron Corbin / Sin Cara.
That's The Miz.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
Even from a numbers standpoint, no matter who it is, you've got to have two extra men at ringside in The Miz's pocket. So Miz wins. One way or another, Miz wins.
Yeah, he's The Miz. He doesn't really lose, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, he can lose, but he doesn't lose.
He doesn't lose big. And against somebody who's not prepared to fight three men, you got to always go into a match with The Miz thinking, okay, there's The Miz. He's not going to fight you head on. He's always going to come at you from either side. And then you have the two goons on the outside who you always have to keep an eye out for. So you essentially have to take out both of them and then The Miz. And that's who did we see take on The Miz a while, not that long ago, a couple weeks ago, and just took out both of the Miztourage and then fought The Miz. And I truly thought that they were going to take it home. I don't remember who the hell it was.
I'm feeling like it was Braun Strowman. I'm not sure. But
why would he wrestle for that title?
It was something. You know, we'll have to watch the tape.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that has been the Raw before Survivor Series. I mean, that's going to be this Sunday. Check out the pay-per-view. That'll be on AfterBuzz TV for Survivor Series. And I don't know if anybody on this panel will be able to be on it, but I personally won't be because I'll be out of town.
Yeah.
But that pay-per-view will be happening. So until then, enjoy. And Nicole Conlon, put yourself over.
You can follow me on Twitter at Nicole Conlon, where I will update you with the things that I do and do not do. And you can see me most Sundays at the Inner Sanctum Cafe at UCB performing with my team Dynamite.
Hobo, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at True Hobo. This Thursday, Brian Kendrick's Wrestling Pro Wrestling, it's Turkey Mania. That means somebody is going to be crowned the first ever Wrestle Turkey Champion. The belt is fantastic. It's going to be a hell of a show. You can watch that at home on Twitch.tv/ Wrestling Pro Wrestling. And on Thursday, I'll be at Championship Wrestling from Arizona. I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing. Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Is the belt a turkey?
It has a golden turkey on it.
Nice. Yes. It's a fun belt. And I believe I didn't introduce myself again when I started this.
Well, now's a great time.
Yeah, my name is Markia McCarty. Hi. Wow, I need to get better at that. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's MarkiaMccarty. You can check me out on Screen Junkies News. Today we covered The Punisher's past. Ooh. And our hope for The Punisher for November 17th. And then also on tomorrow on Marvel Movie News on our sister network, Popcorn Talk, at 2 p.m. We talk all things Marvel. Come nerd out with us. And then Thursday, if you like games, as in specifically card games, I'll be on Game Talk Live. And I'll put that on my Twitter to be able to play along with us at
home. What kind of card games?
It's a card game that's kind of a mixture of, it's called You Got Problems. And it's kind of a mixture of Cards Against Humanity with a little bit of Apple thrown in. Apples to apples.
Okay.
Ooh. Yeah.
All right.
So, but it's fun. We hope to see you next week. Same time, same place, same channel. And we'll see you then.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.